Yeah. So I just like washed
laundry then.
It was a shirt.
That was just available for you.
It was just available because
Alright, understood.
I just had on a white t-shirt. I'm off.
Sophisticated bang. You're a PTO. PTO bang.
Yeah, I'm PTO bang.
Alright, that's a bad.
Yeah, so I really been lazy, fam. I call it fake PTO because I'm doing like 3 meetings before the year out.
Yeah.
So I can start the year straight. But other than that, I ain't doing shit.
Understood.
So other than washing my ass and brushing my teeth, I ordered a pizza.
You deserve a little bit of time off, my brother.
Yeah, I ain't did nothing.
Understood.
PTO bank is in full effect. You know what I'm saying? But nah, man. Hey, man.
Yes, sir.
Miami, man, was good. You know what I'm saying?
Christmas.
Don't buy any hoes.
Christmas in Miami. No, bang. Christmas in Miami.
You ain't got no prostitutes.
Hey, look, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something, though. All right, so look, I told you I went with one of my homies, right? So shout out to my homie Chris. He's been to Miami plenty of times. So he's very familiar with the city. So he was able to spot all the bullshit that we seen, all the crazy shit that we seen. So when we landed, we went to the hotel, and then we had stopped on Ocean Drive at this spot that he know about, and we had got something to eat. It's like a club bar type spot, you know what I'm saying? Nothing crazy. We went in there, and we was sitting down, and then this guy came over, like he got seated next to us, and he had 2 women with him. And he texts me like on the side. He was like, "Yeah, those are purchased women."
Transactional relationship.
It's like a hefty transaction was made for those women right there, because you could just tell right off the bat. So I like he was able to spot all this shit. Like so, but yeah. So but that wasn't us though. Nothing like that, you know. But shout out to the city of Miami. That was my first time being there. Very interesting. Very interesting. Christmas in Miami is definitely, I don't think, is a thing. I honestly feel like, you know, if it wasn't Christmas, like, it would have been more lit. But, yeah, it was definitely mid.
Yeah, niggas don't go to Miami.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Niggas
I was about
don't
to
go
say,
to Miami until Memorial Day.
Yeah. I was about to say, like, whoever lives in Miami, they probably, like, it was probably a lot of people that went out of town and probably went somewhere else. And, you know, because it was definitely light, you know, as far as like the people, the crowd, the vibes was real kind of settled. It was mid, you know, but nonetheless, though, man, it was nice, though, bro. It was a good, you know, good time, good experience. The weather, though, weather was very interesting. So before we even got down there, like, it didn't show as far as like nothing with rain or anything like that, but it was a little bit of sunshine. But what the crazy thing is that the weather, like, it if you be in Miami for a few days, like, it just rains randomly. Like, it'll just rain on some random shit, and then all of a sudden, like, 5 minutes later, it'll stop raining, the sun will pop out, and all the rain that fell on the ground just dries up quickly, immediately.
Dries up.
Like, that's what my homie called a pop-up showers. It's like, yeah. she just like, it was just crazy. But it did that randomly the whole weekend. Even at the game, when I went to the game, it just rained, and then it just randomly stopped, and then it just randomly rained again.
Yeah, I was watching the game. Bro, I started to text you too, like, yo, look, is it raining?
It was raining. I think at the game was the hardest.
Like, rain.
Yeah. At the game, see, prior to that, like you know, the day before, it like rained, but it was like really like drizzles, like nothing crazy, but it was like just randomly do it. At the game is where it rained the hardest. Now it was off and on, but it was like pouring down for like 5 minutes, and then it'll just stop. So, you know, the weather, I wasn't a fan of that, you know, so to speak. But other than that, though, it was cool though, bro. It was a good time, man. I would definitely love to go back when, you know, the vibes are a little bit higher, like a Memorial Day or like sometime in the summer. or some shit like that. You know what I'm saying?
Where the transactional relationships are prevalent.
Where the shit is jumping off. No, for real, for real. And apparently, like, so, and my homie, he was like, man, Joe, he asked me when we got down there. He was like, look, bro. He's like, what we doing? And he's married. He's married. He has a child and everything like that. So he's a family man just like me. So, but he asked me, he was like, hey, bro. He's like, what you trying to do, bro? Are you trying to like kick it? You know what I'm saying? Or we balling on the budget? I told him, I said, bro, we balling on the budget, bro. Because I know him and I've heard stories of him kicking it and shit like that. So I know he could spend some money if he wanted to. Like,
trying to get the lay of the land.
He was trying to look like he was actually kind of like, yeah, though, we could go to Live if you want to. You know what I'm saying? It's like, and Live Club, like Live Nightclub in Miami is so funny. They were promoting that shit like with like a plane, and they had like the flag like on the back of it, like telling people like, yeah, come to Live. You know what I'm saying? Like you flying through the sky, like on the beach, you could see the plane just flying, and they got the little banner off the back of the plane promoting Live to people to come. And apparently Drake, 2 Chainz, and Wayne was there Christmas Eve night. They were there. They were at Live. And you know what I'm saying? I was like, we didn't make it there, but I could just imagine how much it would have cost to get in there. So when I told him, I was like, nah, bro, we're going to just ball on the budget a little bit, just kick it a little bit, eat, you know what I'm saying? Go catch the vibes, you know, on Ocean Drive, shit like that. Nothing crazy, though. Nothing crazy.
So let's get back to the transactional relationship.
You stupid.
Hey, because I always consider transactional relationships fun, right? Mm-hmm. Because there are some instances where you can tell that that's a transactional relationship. Mm-hmm. And then there's others where they play it off right. So about how many transactional relationships do you think you saw down in Miami?
At least 4 or 5.
Oh, at man, least that four. Feels light.
It was light. It was real light. But I seen it, though, and you could tell, though. Like, you know, you could, like my homie said, bro, he spotted it right off the back. You know, so yeah, it was I could have spotted at least 4 or 5 situations where they was like, yeah, those are transactional. What's the word you said? What did you say?
Transactional relationships.
Transactional relationships. Yeah, I seen maybe a 4 or 5 of those.
We don't want to disrespect the men and the women involved in transactional relationships.
Absolutely.
We just know that those relationships are transactional. Absolutely. There are people that are not in Miami that have transactional relationships. Mm-hmm. Those are like, you know, men who are kind of awkward and everything, but you know, they want to feel the warmth of someone. So, you know, every Tuesday they pay for somebody to come in their home and then leave. Transactional relationships.
Absolutely.
How much cocaine usage did you
see? You know what, man? I didn't see that much. I didn't see it. That's what I'm telling you, bro. This was a light weekend. Had to be light, bro. And I don't think I was there long enough or didn't like get around to all of that. Just, I don't know, based off the timing. So, yeah.
I feel like you had to go into a bathroom and somebody did a line and was like,
nah, see, I didn't see none of that. But nah, I didn't catch any of that.
Snaking and shit. Hey, bro. Want a book?
Didn't catch any of that.
Oh, man, I feel like that's a disappointing trip if you ain't seen no cocaine usage. Before we even get started anymore, some dude pod.
Oh, my God.
If you go to Miami, man, you got to see transactional relationships and bumps. All right? Yep. You know what I'm saying? Somebody got to offer you some shit. Like, just grab a nugget outside of their coat and just put it on the bathroom counter, chop that mug up, and offer it to you. You say no. Like, all right.
Yeah.
More for me.
Christmas in Miami is definitely different from Memorial Day in Miami, I would guess. So
hey, man, some dude 188. Make sure you rate, like, subscribe, download wherever you get your favorite podcast. New Home Barbershed Network. Shouts out to the gang over there. Make sure you check out all of the podcasts that's coming through, including Some Dude Pod. Make sure you go ahead and get that merch. You see, Mike got on the everybody can't be in your top 10. That please go on to 2024, ladies and gentlemen. I'm glad that Mike got on that shirt because I want everybody to go into 2024 knowing that everybody can't be in your top 10. Mm-hmm. If somebody asks you for a top 10 list, top 10 rappers, top 10 singers, top 10 producers, top 10 porn stars, top 10 whatever,
keep it at 10.
keep it at 10. Don't be like, yo, it's a tie.
No honorable mentions.
No honorable mentions. Just give us your 10.
Yeah, straight to it.
You know? And then you'll be surprised that the person that you say is top 10, not in your top 10. Mm-hmm. Until you lie and be like, nah, I'm going to put him at 9 and I'm going to take.
And then if someone proceeds to disagree with your top 10, you proceed to tell them what you listen to don't make me bop. And we have a shirt for that as well. So make sure you cop that and you point it out to them. You show them the picture of the t-shirt. And just, you ain't even got to say it, actually. You ain't got to say the quote. Just screenshot the t-shirt to them and say, screenshot that. And it says, what you listen to don't make me bop. And proceed at that. Don't even argue. That's it. Leave it at that. So that's what we doing in 2024. All right? No honorable mentions. And you proceed to let people know that what you listen to don't make you bop. All right? And that's it. That's it. That's all.
That's it. That's all. Let's go ahead and get to it, Mike, man. You know, while the trip there was a good, relaxing trip for you.
Absolutely. Miami.
Your team stressed you out.
Yeah. Before we get to the team, Miami is very beautiful, bro. Like, when you go to the beach, like, I took a walk on the beach real quick to the beach. Didn't get out there on the sand. But when you look at that view, bro, it's very relaxing to see, bro, and peaceful. So
did you see half-naked women rollerblading?
We saw rollerblading, but we didn't see that. See, as I told you, it was light, bro. We saw some other shit, motherfuckers rollerblade, bro. Some wild motherfuckers rollerblade. Shout out to the community. Shout out to them. Shout out to the gays and everything like that. They were rollerblading. We saw some of that. We didn't see the half-naked women rollerblading.
But like anytime you watch a movie that's based in LA or Miami in the beach.
Yeah.
You gotta see somebody breakdancing.
Yeah.
You gotta see somebody with some shades.
Yeah.
You gotta see the sand and the palm trees.
Yeah.
And you gotta see half-naked women rollerblade.
Nope.
But it's just 80s movies. I don't know. I'm just saying
it might be a thing, but it wasn't a thing this weekend. So that's okay though. But anyway, though, the vibes was good. It was not cold, man. It was nice, a decent 70 degrees. But like I said, the sun was like in and out, so it wasn't really like a sunny weekend. It was kind of like, yeah, partial sunny, lot of rain, you know, stuff like that. So, nah. No, so, yeah, that's kind of how it was. But nonetheless, still beautiful. But, yeah, let's proceed to the actual reason why I went down there was to see my favorite football team that I root for week in and week out that embarrasses me every week in and week out, the Dallas Cowboys playing against the Miami football Dolphins. Yeah, that's what we went down there for. That's what we was there for, the game. So, but what was your proceeding question about the game?
No, I was just like, it looks like a relaxing night.
Yeah. Well, the Cowboys, good weekend. Went down there to see the Dallas Cowboys play, and they broke my undefeated streak of seeing them in person. This was my third Dallas Cowboys football game that I attended, and I was 2-0 in those prior two games, and they, you know, broke the streak. So that was the first time I got to see the Dallas Cowboys lose in 3D. And it was very disappointing. But Dallas Cowboys fans were in there heavy. I could pretty much tell you that it was 50-50 in that motherfucker. Half Cowboys fans, half Dolphins fans. That's how the Cowboys move. Regardless of how many times they disappoint us, the fans is going to move for Dallas. You know what I'm saying? So, but the game itself, man, you know, heartbreaking loss, 22-20 on a last second field goal by the Dolphins. And that dropped the Cowboys to, 10-5?
Think y'all 10-5.
10-5. And just adds to the road record for the Cowboys. which is 3-5, and just another loss to a team that's above 500, which will be the running conversation for the Cowboys going into the end of the season and into the postseason. And when you see this team, these are the burning questions that we're asking: is can the Cowboys make noise in the postseason? Obviously, we've almost knocked ourselves out of winning the division with Philly winning against the Giants yesterday, so that puts them ahead of the Cowboys division wise and pretty much ranking in the NFC. So all signs lead to the Cowboys. Obviously, we clinched the playoff spot already, but all signs point to the Cowboys having to travel on the road for their first postseason game. You know what? And which is funny, because I was thinking of that, and I was thinking like, man, yo, which team would I like to play in the playoffs if we had to travel on the road? And the Detroit Lions is the team I would rather them play. I would love for that. That's the team I want them to play. If I had to pick anybody, it would be the Detroit Lions. I think they have the best shot at beating them on the road. I mean, they got a dome, some similar to the Cowboys stadium. So the atmosphere would kind of be the same as them playing at home. But also,
No, Mike, I can't let you do that.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't let you do that.
Why?
I can't let you. Miriam, don't do that. I just picked the shirt. Steve, Mike.
What's wrong, bang? She mad because you put that shirt on? Hey, Miriam.
And then
Lando in the back.
Lando, he gonna just pop up.
What's up, Miriam?
How's it going, man? Shut up, Mike.
Okay.
Shut up.
I don't know. I don't know what just happened, but I'm gonna shut up.
You ain't seen nothing.
Okay.
To get back to what I was saying, you can't know.
I can't do what, bang, exactly. Mm-mm. What is it that you won't let me do?
Not gonna let you do that.
Do what?
A couple of weeks ago, your ass was talking about how NFL Detroit doing good.
Now, but I stand on that shit. Look, what did I say in the pod? I said the Detroit Lions winning football games, being a solid franchise, is dope. Like I'm happy for them. I'm happy they haven't won a division in what, 30 years or some shit like that. Mm-hmm. That's how the Detroit Lions won a division 30 years ago. That is dope. That's dope. I love it, bro.
You trying to rain on their parade?
No, I'm not rain. Hey, bro, it is what it is. It has to. I give them the props, but that's where it stops. You know, if they have to go up against the Dallas Cowboys, yeah, it stops there. So, yeah, of course I'm going to rain on their parade because that's my squad. And it also gives me a good opportunity to drive up to Detroit, maybe catch a playoff game because that's right up the street. I wouldn't mind doing that. But, all jokes aside, though, in all seriousness, I feel like the Detroit Lions, I mean, yeah, they have won the division. They have played good this season. But obviously, if I had to put the Cowboys in a playoff scenario, it would be against them.
Oh, no. And you know what? No. Wait a minute. I think they changed. Okay, no, Mike. It's changed. You say okay. Detroit. Okay. If the playoffs started today, the Cowboys will actually play
Philly, probably
the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Oh, give me that, too. Oh, I'm so okay with that. I'm okay with that, too. That ain't no problem. Shout out to Baker Mayfield, who been lighting it up. And also want y'all niggas to apologize to me because I told y'all Baker Mayfield was decent, solid, a solid QB1. I ain't saying he like elite or anything like that, but y'all wrote Baker Mayfield off when he caught a bad break in Cleveland. And y'all in Cleveland shipped him out after his last season with them when he was injured and he held that team afloat the best as he could. And the prior season to that, he led them to the playoffs and he almost got them to the AFC Championship game. But you know what I'm saying? Nonetheless, that's neither nor here nor there. But shout out to Baker Mayfield. But again, give me that scenario as well. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the first round, I'm cool with that. I ain't got no problem with that. I feel like that's a winnable game even on the road. Detroit is a winnable game on the road. But again, I feel like they could beat anybody. I feel like they could beat Philly if they have to end up playing Philly. It is what it is. But the Cowboys have to, they can't, it's pretty much the Cowboys versus the Cowboys at this point, G. They are beating themselves. The team, yeah. the game against the Dolphins, if you want to just give that game a quick summary, the Dolphins scored one touchdown in that game. One. So shout out to the MVP of that game, who is the Miami Dolphins field goal kicker, because he hit a few 50-yarders. A few 50-yarders. Cleared them. So the shout out to the defense. They played good. The offense really just hasn't really got it going as far as the run is concerned. They couldn't run the ball. And the offensive line couldn't protect Dak. Dak ran for his life most of that game. And shout out to Dak.
Yo, that was the most I've seen Dak run.
Bro.
In quite some time.
He ran for his life that whole game. He was able to get away on a few plays. He got some some long runs for 10 plus yards a few times, but the Dolphins had pressure on him the whole game. So I commend Dak for doing as much as he could to keep them in that game. We had the long drive that ended with the Brandon Cooks touchdown, which actually put the Cowboys in the lead, but that also, led the Dolphins with time on the clock, and they were able to drive down the field. And on the second play, they could call for a face mask, 15-yard face mask on the last drive when only thing the Dolphins needed was three. So you're pretty much just giving them free 15 yards. Again, like I said last week, the penalties will kill you. And also, even before that, the first drive of the game, Dallas drives the field. You give the ball to Tony Pollard, and he gets stopped at the 1 yard line, at the goal line, which it looked like he got in, but it didn't get in. But also, that was a first down. That was a first down. So, what would you think the play call would be, Bang? If, what would your play call be on first and goal after Tony Pollard doesn't get in? What would you call if you were play called?
I would have went up the middle.
They did go up the middle.
Try it one more time.
They did go up the middle. But what they did was they brought in the fullback. Brought in the fullback.
No, hear me out. Hear me out. I would have tried it one more time up the middle.
Okay.
But that's depending on the assets that I have. And unfortunately, your team decided that it was more important not to keep somebody like Zeke Elliott, who almost cost me a final because I woke up and I was like, yo, what the fuck going on? Why does he have 20 points? So another thing that I would have did, man, is just a slant. I don't know if it's like a lost art or something, but I don't see niggas do slants no more. I'm like really surprised at that.
On first and goal?
But yeah. On first and goal, I would have did a slant on first and goal. You have a wide receiver that's good at doing that shit too. All right, CD Lamb, you get his ass, boom, turn that motherfucker right. On the left, he on the left hand side, turn that motherfucker right. Yeah, CD Lamb is gonna get that.
Yeah,
that's what I would have did. But I'm not the coach, so yeah.
But this is where I've complained about McCarthy and red zone calls all season. You bring in the fullback and you try to get cute, and Dak and the fullback has a mishap on the handoff, and then you fumble.
Yeah, so that was that was the fumble.
That was the fumble. They fumbled on that play. So why don't you just run the same play again up the middle to Tony Pollard? Give it to your running back again up the middle, though, or QB sneak it. Like, I'm just saying, bro, it's like I said, the Cowboys are beating themselves. That's why I said they could beat any team. I think any team that's in the playoffs right now, the Cowboys have a legit shot at. Maybe not the 49ers. I don't know. But you see, the 49ers just got exposed. So, with all of their players. So, you can't blame it on them not having anybody. But that's a conversation for another whatever. But the Cowboys can beat anybody. The Cowboys have to beat – they can beat anybody in the NFL, but they can't beat them. They have to beat themselves, though. They can't lose against themselves. You know, we can't have the penalties, can't have the turnovers. All right. And like again, everybody, you can't put it on Dak because Dak played well. Dak played well enough to win that game. But they have to block for Dak, and the run defense has to be better as well. Like ever since Dalvin Cook's little brother cooked us, you know what I'm saying? Last week, they steady getting cooked on the run. So I don't know. We need to address that as well. But hey, to answer your question in the notes, man. Can the Cowboys make noise in the playoffs? I think so. I think they can, especially depending on who they playing against, especially the opponent. If we get the Buccaneers round, they got a shot. If they got the Detroit Lions in the first round, they got a shot. But they have to eliminate the bad coaching decisions. They have to eliminate the turnovers, and they have to protect Dak. Dak can't be running for his life, bro. So, yeah. Mike McCarthy claims that they're going to be road warriors, because he pretty much knows that they're going to have to play on the road to get to the Super Bowl. So, hey, they're going to have to do the unthinkable. Mike McCarthy got, you know, he claimed that they can do it. So we shall see. That's pretty much my thoughts pertaining to Dallas Cowboys right now as we sit at 10-5.
Yeah, I was a bit disappointed, man, in seeing that. For you,
yeah,
specifically that fumble that happened at the red zone, because then when you look at the game and you look at the score, that's the game.
Yep,
like that's the game right there. Mm-hmm.
You go up 7-0 to start the game is a totally different game as it opposed to being 0-0 after you drive all the way down the field, not even getting any points, just really just change the whole trajectory of the game. You know what I'm saying? So, hey, like I said, bro.
Look, man, like I said, I felt bad for you.
I appreciate
you. On that one.
Yeah.
Because I was just like, we're getting to a point where everything that you be saying, everything that you be trying to tell us, when I be trying to tell you to talk your shit,
you see,
I understand.
I just can't get on that high horse yet. Am I gonna talk shit like you get on here and say, "Yeah, shout out to my team. My team won this Sunday. If your team didn't win, da da da." Like, I can't get on that high horse, bro, because I done seen this shit play in and play out every week, every year. This team does it. They always do it. And what's crazy to me is that they didn't even do this last year. They played well going into the end of the season. They're playing horrible football right now. Like, you know what I'm saying? With the decision-making and, like, the coaching and, like, all the other shit. You could just point out everything, G. They just look bad overall, bro. Bad. And
yeah,
it's not good going into a playoff push. It's not good. Oh, That's why I've been chilling. That's why I've been chilling on them. And I appreciate you, you know what I'm saying, giving me the high hopes and shit like that. And that's cool because I believe, but I'm not gonna praise this team, G, until I see them actually bust a move in the playoffs, show. They got to bust a move in the playoffs, G. You got to show me something, bro. They got to win convincingly, bro. They got to win convincingly. I got to see it, bro. You know, and until I see it, I'm just going to chill on this team. So if they get knocked out in the first round, bro, you ain't going to see me tripping. You know, I ain't going to cry about it. I'm going to just say, hey, bro, good season. We'll try again next year. You know, shit got to change, though. Something got to change. Something got to give. I don't know what it is. Like I said, bro, but we think the curse is broken, but I got to see it first, bang. I got to see it. I got to see more. So we shall see, bro.
I'll be trying, y'all.
I appreciate you, though.
I know I be trying.
I appreciate it, man. It ain't there yet, bro. We ain't there yet. We are not there yet. We are not there yet. So it is what it is, man. We got the Detroit Lions this week. So that's a test. We going to see. We got the Detroit Lions this week at home, though. It's at home. We undefeated at home. We know what we can do at home. You know how many points we can score at home. We got a win streak that goes back into last year, you know, on the line right now at home.
Hey, man.
So let's see what they're going to do. But again,
hey, look. All I'm saying is this, man. I think y'all got one here when it comes to that game right there. All it takes is a little momentum, Mike.
Yep, need a little bit. We can start right here.
All it takes is a little momentum, Mike.
You got the Detroit Lions this week, and then you got the Washington Commanders to end the season off. They gotta have to, so you have to, but and then on top, they have to play everybody for these next two games if you're playing for positioning in the playoffs. So, all of these games, this game means something, and next week against the Commanders is going to mean something, even though 9 times out of 10, and that game's on the road, but they still, it shouldn't be no problem winning that game by at least 20 because the Commanders are done. So, there's is no reason why the Cowboys shouldn't end the season 12-5.
I'm glad to hear you saying that, Mike.
So I'm confident in that aspect, but going into the playoffs, we shall see, bang. That's all I got for that. That's all I got for that, bang. That's all I got. But shout out to the Chicago Bears.
I don't give a fuck about that shit.
Chicago Bears. Shout out to Justin Fields. Justin Fields got me in the fantasy football championship. So shout out to him. Shout out to Justin.
Whatever, Mike.
So, bang, you don't have a weekly Bear update for me?
No.
I understand that Cleveland Browns loss really left a bad taste in y'all mouths because the what ifs are really flowing right now for the Chicago Bears. What if the Chicago Bears beat the Cleveland Browns? What if the Chicago Bears beat the Denver Broncos? What if the Chicago Bears beat the Detroit Lions in that first game? So many what ifs right now for the Chicago Bears. So I understand. I understand. I'm sorry. So, understood, man. Some dude pie. What we got next, man? Bang don't want to talk about the Bears.
No, I
understand. I understand your thought process right now. I get it. I understand. Rightfully so. You have every right and every Bear fan that has sense. And know that them winning against the Arizona Cardinals don't even mean shit because the what ifs just start flowing through your mind. Because y'all scenario should be totally different than what it is right now. So I completely understand. So it's really just like at this point, who the fuck cares? So I understand when you say who cares, I don't care. It makes total sense.
It's just when you put it like that, it makes it sting more.
Yeah.
You know why, Mike?
Yeah.
The reason why it stings a bit more is simply because all the Bears are sitting at 6-9 right now. They win those three games.
They're 9-6.
And they're squarely in the playoffs. And they are right behind the Detroit Lions. And the Detroit Lions don't clinch yet. Mm-hmm. Because you beat the Detroit Lions.
Yeah.
And I think as far as record goes, you're actually in a situation to where you're in a situation where they don't clinch until you lose and shit like that. So the Bears, if they win, are in a great position. But in saying all of that, which makes all of this frustrating, this, if anything, y'all, this should really show y'all how vital games in the NFL are. If they're 9-6, are they talking about drafting Caleb Williams?
Absolutely not. I don't know. Probably not, but maybe.
No.
Okay.
If the Bears are 9-6, Mike, they talking about what they can flip for that Carolina pick. If the Bears are 9-6, you're talking about flipping a pick. Eberflus is not going anywhere. Justin is not going anywhere. And with that young defense improving and a quarterback, that's your future. The prospects are different. Mm-hmm. The Bears were up at least 10 points in three of the games they lost. Mm-hmm. They were about 10 points in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. And they lost. That's the difference between we have our quarterback of the future and we don't know. Mm-hmm. And I saw something. I think it was on Barstool Sports. Let me find this. Because I think this right here shows you. It tells you everything you need to know about this season for the Bears. Mm-hmm. Hold on. I'm going to play this. Is this right here? Hold on, get this link. Get this link. I'm going to show you this and I'm going to play it for you. Because this is the difference. Hold on. This is the difference between where we are at right now as a team and how we're questioning who is on our team next year. Mm-hmm. Hold on for a second.
2 versus the Lions and a 91.3 versus the Browns. The chance to lose all three of those is a 0.003%.
This team, man.
Let's just play again.
That's insane. Imagine that's
your coaching staff.
With the loss of the Browns on Sunday, the Bears' playoff chances are now at 3%.
Higher than I would have thought.
Win probability in the worst loss of the season. This was also crazy.
Ooh.
Did you see this? They had a 98.1% versus the Broncos, 98.2% versus the Lions, and a 91.3% versus the Browns. The chance to lose all three of those is a 0.003%.
This team, man.
That's crazy.
That's insane.
That's your call.
Mike. If you hear what he just said, that's less than 10%, Mike.
Yeah.
That's less than 5%.
Yeah.
That's less than 1%.
Absolutely.
Mike, that's the difference between we have our quarterback of the future, a decent coaching staff, and playoffs. And we have the number one pick. Let's go get Caleb Williams. Let's fire Eberflus. Let's try to get Jim Harbaugh.
Mm-hmm.
That's small of a difference. That shows you games matter so damn much more in football than any other sport.
Mm-hmm.
Because if the Bears win one of those games, or even two of those games, they are still in the playoff hunt.
Mm-hmm. Hey, mathematically speaking, y'all are still in the playoff hunt, correct?
Yeah, but too much shit got to happen, Mike.
Yeah.
So when you said what you said, that's why I'm frustrated. That's why I'm frustrated. Because they had over a 90% chance of winning each of those three games. Mm-hmm. And they lost it. And that right now is the difference between a 2% chance of being in the playoffs and being in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. That's the difference of Justin Fields is the quarterback of the future and Caleb Williams, we're drafting him. That's the difference between, I don't know about Flus. They've improved this year, but they 6-9 and still started off slow. And Hey, man, Floosh, we got the right coach, man. Let's think about giving him a contract extension.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
Sorry, man.
So now we go into a season where, well, go into a postseason, excuse me. Now we go into a postseason where the number one question in the NFL is what the Bears, what are they going to do with this number one pick? When we know goddamn well what they're going to do with the number one pick in the NFL draft, Chicago Bears select Caleb Williams, quarterback, USC.
Okay.
Now the transition, Caleb Williams liked the tweet.
Okay.
And it sent shockwaves in Chicago Twitter.
What was the actual tweet?
The tweet said it was from Spinny Sockham 22.
Okay.
It said only one option for the Chicago Bears in the 2024 NFL draft. It's not Caleb Williams. We want Justin Fields. The answer is Marvin Harrison Jr. He liked that tweet.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And when people saw that on Twitter, they was, oh my God. Oh, I can't believe this. Why would he like that tweet? He's selfish. He don't want to be with the Bears. All types of shit. That's what they were saying about him. Talking all types of shit. Now, that was on Christmas Eve.
Mm-hmm.
When he liked that tweet.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he since liked a tweet. He liked a tweet 23 hours ago from James_Sweener, where it says, I've waited my whole life for a QB like Caleb Williams on the Chicago Bears. I spent Christmases making this, but I'm not playing for a blue check to post the full thing. True freshman is not supposed to be in this game, by the way. It shows Caleb Williams when he was with Oklahoma, when he got his first bit of action,
mm-hmm.
which was as a freshman in the Red River Shootout when he replaced Spencer Rattler. And Spencer Rattler ain't see the field again after this game. I remember watching this game. I remember watching this Red River Shootout between Texas and Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
And saying, who the hell is Caleb Williams? This boy gonna be cold.
Mm-hmm.
And even though he didn't win a natty in Oklahoma or with USC, the boy has showed hella promise.
Mm-hmm.
There was one reporter that said, you know, during his pre-draft, it was on ESPN. Matter of fact, let me go to ESPN.com. Because they showed the prospects. Matt Miller, yep, NFL draft analyst, put up his draft prospects with their comps. I'm going to read what Matt Miller said about Caleb Williams. He said that his comp is Aaron Rodgers. The irony of his comp being Aaron Rodgers and possibly being on Chicago Bears. I'm going to read what Matt Miller said. The top overall player in the 2024 class, Williams combines excellent arm strength, mobility, and field vision with a knack for making creative plays when defenses close on him in the pocket. At 6'1", 215 pounds, he's responsible for 93 touchdowns over the past two seasons at USC, 72 passing, 21 rushing. Sure, he would need to clean up the fumbles, 8 in 2023. Guess who else, excuse me, have issues with fumbles? Now, this is where when I read shit like this, I go, nigga.
Yeah.
Are you serious? Do y'all watch us? Do y'all know how fans is probably going to read this? Knowing some of the turnover issues that Jester has, he says, sure, he would need to clean up the fumbles, 8 in 2023, and get the ball out faster, 3.14 seconds to throw on average. But the NFL-style playmaking and jaw-dropping passing ability has scouts calling him a rare prospect. What he's able to do on second-effort plays is impressive, and Williams would have been my top-rated quarterback in each of the past five draft classes. He looks like a lock to go number one right now. Great. But there's two things that people shit on Justin about that he mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Fumbles and getting the ball out fast.
Mm-hmm.
So, hey, y'all, I get it. If Caleb Williams is a generational quarterback, I get it, draft analyst. And I would love to have one of these people on the pod. Because here's what I don't understand. How can you kill Justin for fumbling the ball, taking care of the ball, and getting the ball out slow? And the number one rated quarterback has the same issues as Justin.
Mm-hmm.
I get the love for Caleb Williams. I'm going to say this one more time, Mike, for the congregation to hear me. But when I read this report for Matt Miller, and he says, sure, he would need to clean up the fumbles and get the ball out faster. He also mentions that Williams, is what he's able to do on second effort plays is impressive. The same as Justin. Those are three traits that Justin has. Don't show me that shit. Don't tell me that shit. And use that to make Bears fans go, oh, man, this is great.
Yeah.
Because we've seen Justin fumble the ball in critical situations. And he don't get the ball out fast enough. So we're going to draft the same damn thing, huh? But shorter. Somebody tell me what it is, man. That man just wrote in the article, sure, he'd need to clean up the fumbles and get the ball out faster, second level or second effort plays. But then when you look at ESPN or Fox, oh man, Justin got to take care of the ball. He fumbles a lot and he needs to get the ball out faster. Well, you tell Matt Miller from ESPN, ask the same shit they're talking about with Justin.
Yeah.
How am I supposed to be comfortable with Caleb Williams as the number one pick when he's 6'1", 215, smaller and shorter than the man who he says does the same thing as Justin? Issue with fumbling the ball and getting the ball out fast. Mike.
Let me ask you a question, Bang. With that, go back to the tweet. And obviously there's rumors, tweets. And there's rumors around Caleb Williams possibly not wanting to play in Chicago. Because it seems like all signs are pointing that way, correct?
I won't say it until he say it.
Okay. Now let me ask you. Now there goes my next question. What if the Chicago Bears draft Caleb Williams with the number one pick? And then what if he pulls the Eli Manning? What if he pulls
the notes? You read the notes for the show, didn't you?
No, you put that in the notes?
You goddamn right. Hey,
you want to know what's funny? You know what's funny about that too? Is because I actually, like, you know, when I be scrolling TikTok, you know, the algorithm has given me like some throwback football highlights and shit like that. Like, I saw it was a TikTok, and they showed Eli Manning at his press conference, the interview after he was drafted by the Chargers. And he pretty much broke it down like, yeah, I don't want to play here. You know what I'm saying? Me and my team, we made this decision. What if we get that scenario? Something similar to that. What are we doing?
Mike, I'm glad you said that. Because I'm a read to you what I said in the notes.
Yeah.
It's just one line, the good old days. Eli Manning. Mm-hmm. Oh, I miss the good old days, fam. I miss the good old days when it was no social media like that. When you saw a quarterback or when you saw anybody that didn't want to be with the team no more. They didn't like a tweet. They didn't change the bio. They didn't know.
We wasn't deleting tweets. We wasn't deleting IG posts. None of that shit.
They didn't put nothing in the stories. You just said, yo, I want to trade.
Yeah.
And Eli Manning, let's get back to the old days. If we Caleb Williams, let's say, for instance, let's just say Caleb Williams liked those other two tweets. So they could say, oh, he said some other shit too about him wanting to be with the Bears. His agent was like, yo, hold on, you messing up your leverage here. Mm-hmm. Let's wait. I'm gonna say, Caleb, I'm talking specifically to you here. If y'all want to be with the Bears, fam, just say it. Mm-hmm. I respect you more. Because you know who I respected a lot after him and his family made that decision? Eli Manning. Eli Manning, brother, Peyton, because it's two to this, Mike. Mm-hmm. The Manning family has given Caleb Williams the blueprint for all of this. Peyton Manning, right? Junior year. Oh, man, he's the number one pick in the NFL draft. Why does he need to come back to Tennessee? Press conference. I decided to stay with the Tennessee Volunteers and go after the Heisman and the national championship. Oh, this is great for college football. Peyton Manning passes up the riches for the NFL. You know what's different? When Peyton Manning did it to now, NIL. Mm-hmm. He can make money in college.
Yeah.
And play one more year, try to get a natty and another Heisman. Mm-hmm. Not saying I would do it. Saying that Peyton Manning gave you the blueprint. Mm-hmm. Or Eli Manning, clear-cut number one pick in the NFL draft. Family pedigree. His brother went number one. His daddy went number one. Eli, you going number one. What you want to do? I don't want to get drafted by the San Diego Chargers, I tell you that. Through the whole process, I don't want to go there. I don't want to go there. I don't want to go there. With the number one pick in the NFL draft, the San Diego Chargers select Eli Manning, quarterback, Mississippi. No, I don't want to be there. He got traded. Mm-hmm. So Caleb Williams, which Manning do you want to be? Mm-hmm. Do you want to be Peyton? Hey, I'm going to stay another year. College experience. Well, I'm going to be Eli. Hey, I want to go to the NFL. I just don't want to play for them. Either way it go, Mike, it work for both of them.
Okay.
Because Peyton got a Super Bowl with the Indianapolis Colts. Eli got two with the New York Giants. So, Caleb, which Manning do you want to be? Interesting times for you, famo.
Mm-hmm.
Which one you want to be? I'm cool with either one.
Now, let me ask you a question. Is there, like, if he did man up and pretty much made it clear that he don't want to be drafted by the Bears, and the Bears still – do the Bears still proceed to draft him, or you just pass up on him?
No, you got to trade him. You got to trade that.
You got to draft him. You got to draft him and trade him.
The leverage might not be as good as it could have been. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think, like in that other tweet, is probably the owner saying you don't want to lose your leverage because if the team loses their leverage, they probably gonna be like, fuck it, we gonna pick you.
Right.
But hey man, if he comes out and say he don't want to be with the team, then I'm negotiating with other people. Yeah. Trade that pick at the highest bidder. Y'all bid against each other. Yeah. Washington, what you got? New England, what you got? Giants, what you got?
And then we got Jets, that. We got that bang scenario from last week in play right now.
Washington come calling, but no. Caleb Williams got to figure out which Manning he wants to be.
Okay.
If he want to be, does he want to be Peyton and stay in school for one more year to avoid the Bears? Or do he want to be Eli and flat out tell you, I don't want to be drafted by the Chicago Bears?
Okay.
Which one is it going to be? If you do have an issue with the Chicago Bears, the Manning family not only gave you the blueprint, it worked for both of them. Uh-huh. And this is not in a day of social media where you liking a tweet and you're getting in your stories and you're deleting stuff off it. No, he flat out said, I'm staying. He flat out said, don't pick me. That's what you do, Caleb.
Okay.
And I respect you for it.
Yeah.
If you don't want to be drafted by Chicago Bears. But that is wild, though, when you think about it. The Mannings really finessed this whole situation. Like, when you think about it.
Yeah.
Archie Manning, I used to hate the Manning family.
Mm-hmm.
But just in that little thought, I got more respect for them now.
Yeah, you might not be a fan of what they did, but they did it. And they didn't stand down on none of that shit how they felt about, you know, proceeding with their careers. And at the end of the day, for Eli and Peyton, it worked out for them.
It worked out.
They both two-time Super Bowl winners, G. Played.
Did you see?
It worked out.
Did you see the documentary on ESPN with the Heisman race?
Nah.
1990s. That's... You got to watch that. You got to, and Caleb, I hope you watched it too. Because it's no interview footage from any of the players, like no new interview footage. It's all the archival footage from the 1997 college season where Randy Moss, Charles Woodson, Brian Leaf, Peyton Manning was all finalists. It was about that whole Heisman race.
Okay.
And they start off the documentary Peyton's final game as a junior. And he's saying that he'll make the decision. And then he made the decision to come back for a senior year. Mm-hmm. And there were some people that was like, yo, you made the biggest mistake of your life. And there was others like, yo, this is great for college football.
Mm-hmm.
So let me ask this question. It's like I'm talking directly to Caleb Williams here.
Yeah.
Let's say, for instance, Caleb Williams do stay one more year at USC, surprisingly. I wonder what Caleb Williams would be thinking about when he makes that decision. Like, why? Truly why? And I would love to see the backlash or just the reaction from people in the media.
Mm-hmm.
Would it be similar to Peyton Manning? Because a lot of people thought Peyton Manning made a big mistake.
Yeah.
The difference between Peyton Manning and Caleb Williams is Peyton Manning didn't have NIL.
Mm-hmm.
Caleb do.
Mm-hmm.
So Caleb can make a boatload of money as a senior in college.
Yeah.
Off NIL deals.
Yeah.
So it's not like he's going to be poor. This is not a situation where, man, I got to get drafted to feed my family.
Mm-hmm.
No, he could go make some bread.
Is this Caleb's technically his senior year?
No, it's his junior year.
Okay.
It's his junior year.
Yeah.
So I would love to see the backlash or just the reaction of people if Caleb Williams make that decision, if it'd be similar as Peyton Manning is.
I got a feeling, bro. If I had to choose, pick,
I would go back.
I think he might go back, bro. especially since the way they season played out. USC, like, they were like top ranked, and then they just fell off a cliff during the season. So I think, you know, a shot at redemption for your senior year is really in play right here. Like, honestly, like, I would be, us having this conversation now, and, you know, us bringing in the Eli Manning and Peyton Manning situation and him being a junior, and, you know what I'm saying? Hey, this shit really, it's a 50, I think it's 50-50 when he decides. G, I don't think he already got his mind made up. I feel like that's going to really be like one of them last minute decisions. It's going to be right at the bell.
He got till January 15th to make that decision.
And I'm going to bet that he stays and tries to just avoid the Bears altogether. And like you said, Bang, NIL money, you know, a chance at redemption his senior year, can get a Heisman. Like, bro, fuck it. Why not? I can see it. I can see it. Especially since the way this is all playing out with him liking tweets and, you know, the rumors speculating and him not wanting to come to Chicago, bro. And looking at the scenario of the Chicago Bears and seeing that they would be dumb for to not draft him. It's only right for Caleb Williams to just be like, all right, boom. Now, if Caleb Williams does make that decision, babe, where does that leave the Chicago Bears?
Hey, at least Drake May is the number one quarterback. And you stand with Justin Fields.
And who do you draft first?
Oh, you got to see if somebody trade you 2 first-round picks for Drake May. Mm. Which I think could still happen. Because Drake May would be the number one quarterback in his draft if it wasn't for Caleb Williams.
Look, for the Chicago.
But you're drafting, but if you stay at that pick, you're drafting Marvin Harrison Jr.
Okay. All right. There's so many scenarios.
Mike, you don't understand the ramifications of what you just said.
Yeah.
My brother.
There are so many scenarios surrounding the Chicago Bears in this number one pick right now.
It's January 15th.
Yeah.
It's January 15th, 2024. If Caleb Williams on that day says that he's gonna stay in school, oh my God.
That shit is
the tanking is gonna happen in 2024.
Ooh, excuse me.
The tanking is gonna happen in 2024. Mm-hmm. The lack of trade value that happens with that number one pick. Also, you know, some other people might make a little bit more money. Marvin Harrison Jr. makes a little bit. He makes number one pick in the draft money now.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you can't trade that pick, Bears, to a team that is quarterback thirsty and they still love Drake May, you gotta use that pick. And if I have to choose between Drake May and Justin Fields, I'm picking Justin Fields every day.
Okay.
So, hey, Caleb Williams holds more cards than y'all know. And yeah. I think a lot of people in the media just think, man, it's a foregone conclusion. Mike, you might be cooking with gas right there. Y'all heard me a couple of minutes ago say, are you Peyton Manning or are you y'all heard me say a couple of minutes ago, are you Peyton or are you Eli? The difference is NIL.
Mm-hmm.
If Peyton, think about the money that Peyton Manning could have been making during the 1996 season.
Oh, yeah.
And then bring that to 1997 when he come back.
Oh, yeah.
Them white people love that man for making a decision to stay an amateur and not get no money. And they was mad as hell when he didn't get the Heisman Trophy and they didn't win the national championship.
Yeah.
So to some people, he came back for nothing.
Yeah.
But, Mike, do you know who had the number one pick in the draft that year? The year 1995. 1996 NFL draft. That don't sound familiar.
Who had that pick? Shit. I can't recall.
1996 NFL draft. The New York Jets. Mm. That's what I'm saying. Mm. Mike, you might be on to something. Wow.
Yeah.
For those who don't know,
yeah,
let me let y'all know where Mike might be on to something. 1996, Peyton Manning had the opportunity to leave Tennessee to go to the NFL. He said, no, I am staying in Tennessee. The team that had the number one pick in the draft that year was the New York Jets. Who did the New York Jets draft? Keyshawn Johnson, wide receiver, USC.
Yeah.
If Caleb Williams decides, hey, I'm going to stay in school one more year, guess who will mess around and be the number one pick in the draft? Marvin Harrison Jr., wide receiver, Ohio State. Guess who was also drafted in that draft class?
You lying!
1996.
You lying!
Marvin Harrison.
Damn. That is hilarious,
Mike.
That is
I am hilarious. Not a conspiracy theory guy.
Yeah, you are.
I am not a member of just what I see on TikTok, Mike. but also this draft is considered a great wide receiver draft.
Yeah.
This draft is considered quite possibly the best wide receiver draft of all time. Keyshawn Johnson, Terry Glenn, Eddie Kennison, Marvin Harrison Jr., Eric Modes, Bobby Engram, Terrell Owens, Moose Muhammad, Monty Toomer, mm-hmm. all got drafted in this class. Mm-hmm. Just after Bobby Engram, former Chicago Bear.
Yeah.
My brother.
Yeah. We got something.
You.
We might got something here.
You might be cooking with gas. This is hilarious.
We might got some.
The fact that if Peyton Manning would have came out in 1996, like a lot of people thought that he should have, that was going to happen, he could have been the number one pick in the draft. But the Jets had the number one pick, and they sucked the year before.
See,
and his daddy was like, nah, you ain't going to be like how I was in New Orleans. You're going to stay one more year. You don't need the money. You already know we straight.
Yeah.
Number one pick in the draft becomes a wide receiver. And that same thing can happen this year.
The only difference is with this too, Peyton said it without saying it. There's no indication that Peyton didn't want to play for the Jets. Just said, fuck it. I'm just going to, you know. He says without
that
saying
that was his indication.
Well, indication. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that was his indication. I'm just saying. That hey, because remember, Bill Parcells had just got that job. Yeah. So it's not like you would have not been with a Super Bowl winning coach. But the organization was piss poor. Mm-hmm. The organization was terrible. And Peyton saw that shit and was like, nah, I'm straight. And Keyshawn Johnson became the number one pick in the draft. And according to Mike, y'all, that could happen again. You cold, Mike. You cold. Man, before we get out of here, man, Dante Wilder disappointed us again.
I didn't see the fight. What happened, bang? How did he
got his ass whooped?
Nasty.
I didn't have him winning a round.
Was he favored to win the fight?
Yes.
Heavily favored?
He was a minus 700 favorite.
Damn! It got banged, huh? No, bang. No pun intended.
Bang. Round one to round 12.
Yikes.
by a shorter guy.
Did he? Did Wilder? Would he half prepared? Took the guy for granted? Like, what we?
Well,
what we doing
now? Now is excuses from his managers that he stayed in the cryo chamber too long.
Wait, what is that? Is that a? What is that?
Like the cold thing?
Okay.
The cryo chamber.
Oh, okay.
That was what his manager Shelley Finkel said, that he might have stayed in that too long. But Joshua won. Joshua beat the shit out of his opponent. And if they both would have won, then March 9th,
right, they would have
fought each other.
Okay.
We don't give a fuck about that fight no more, Mike.
Mm.
If it happened, it happened. Fuck about that fight.
So as far as the heavyweight division is concerned, with how does this change for the heavyweight division? Like, who? What are we looking at now?
Hey, man, Fury versus Usyk. Okay. And I think February that fight's supposed to happen.
Okay.
Outside of that, man, look, fuck all that shit. It's time for my man Jared Anderson to get his due.
Okay.
It's time for my man Jared Anderson to go ahead and get some of these big fights. All right. Wilder, that shit is done. Joshua, you know, he did show like he's still out here. He still got that thing on him. You know what I'm saying? Pause. He still keep that thing on him. Because he beat the shit out of Otto Waller. They stopped the fight. I think it's time for my man Jared Anderson to see duty, fam.
Okay.
Go ahead and get one of these big fights.
Okay.
I'm just putting it out there in the atmosphere, man. I would love to see Anthony Joshua versus Big Baby. Mm-hmm. Either him or Daniel Dubois. Because Daniel Dubois beat the shit out of Miller. He beat the shit out of that man. That man came in that fight 334.
Okay.
He knew better than that, even though I picked him to win. Because, you know, Daniel Dubois last fight was against Usyk. He got his ass beat. You know what I'm saying? So, no way. But I want to see Jared Anderson go up against Daniel Dubois or throw him in the fire. Go up against Joshua. Let's see what happens. Because I think that Jared Anderson is the next great American heavyweight. And it's time to get him in one of these fights, fam. Also, and I want to see here, I really want to see the natural face reaction. I really want to see it. Mm-hmm. Dr. Umar.
Oh, he was cooking. He was cooking on Joe Budden Pod.
How do you feel? Did you see his thoughts on Eminem?
He was, yeah. I saw that. Look, bro, my reaction to that is I'm not surprised. If you know Dr. Umar and everything that he stands for, bro, him saying that doesn't shock me one bit. Do I agree? No, I don't agree, but I get it. I get what he's saying. A white man can't be the GOAT at something that he didn't create or didn't start or whatever. In so many words, that's pretty much what he was saying. Like, Eminem can't be the master of this shit. He didn't start this shit. So I understand. I don't agree. And anybody that knows me personally know that Eminem is pretty much my GOAT. If it ain't him, it's Hov. One or the other. Just depends on the moment or the time or whatever. But, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, I ain't gonna sit here and say, hey bro, he bugging, but I don't agree with him. Respectfully. That man stand on black. All right. He stand on that shit. She stand on all black. All right.
I see
black,
you, Mike.
Black everything. That's what I'm believing at, bro. I'm not doing
that. I see you, Mike.
Look, bro.
Mike, like, hey man, you wrong in your opinion, but you a black man.
I respect your opinion, G. I get it, but I disagree respectfully. That's all I got. All right,
Mike, you pop today. you MVP today. Because hey, my God, that Caleb Williams, if that shit happened,
hey bro,
man, oh man.
To end it off, that is my hot take right there, bro. That's my hot take. Was just after overall analyzing. The Chicago Bears team and the number one pick, and seeing what's going on with Caleb and everything revolving around him and the rumors of him possibly not wanting to play for the Chicago Bears, it wouldn't shock me that before January 15th or on January 15th that he decides that he will forego the draft and stay for his senior year at USC. That's my hot take, and that won't shock me if it happens. That's it right there. That's it. That's all on that. And, yeah, he's going to shift the whole trajectory of college football and shape the trajectory of the draft by making one decision that's really realistic, a very realistic scenario. That's what's going to happen. All right? That's my hot take, babe. What you got?
Man, I ain't got shit. You won. Hey, man. Yo. Hey, you won, fam. You
last part of the year.
How you won and didn't even look at Wikipedia, look at the dates. And who's the draft? I asked you, did you know who was the number one pick in the draft that year? You didn't know. You didn't even know the team.
Look, bro.
You didn't know the team, none of that shit. You was just like, yo. This nigga gonna stay.
this shit's just possibly gonna happen, bro.
This nigga gonna stay.
Man, bro, all signs point to it, bro. Hey, man, but hey, last part of the year, man, we gonna see y'all next year. You know what I'm saying? We had a great year, you know, and we just hope to do greater things next year in 2024. Hey, man. Bang, what you got, bro? You got anything to say, bro?
Man, look, I like to thank everybody for sticking with us in 2023. Shouts out to you. You know what I'm saying? This is what we going into year what, four?
This will be the fourth year pod. Yeah. This next year will be 4 years.
Yeah, next year be 4 years doing something, dude. Right. Shouts out to Scott and company. For the love for Barbara's Chair, you know what I'm saying? You know, got things that we're discussing for 2024, mm-hmm. To help amplify this brand and all of the other brands on the show. Mm-hmm. Well, on the network and everything. So big ups again to Scott and everything, and big up to everybody that listens to the show. We have a very loyal listener base.
Absolutely, bro. Shout out to everybody that tunes in. We can't
right. We ain't got to get me. I would love to have hundreds of thousands of listeners.
And it will happen.
And it will. But we got a very loyal base.
Mm-hmm.
And my goal for 2024 with Barbara's Chair is to somehow, some way, you know, give back to that loyal fan base. Absolutely. So shouts out to every last one of y'all that checks out the show. That asks where it's at, when it's dropping, all of those things. Everybody who has jumped on to subscribe to Barbara's Chair, to listen to the pod and all of that stuff, and to help grow this platform. This platform is very important. It helped me get my thoughts off. It helped Mike get his thoughts off and everything. It really just keeps us in tune and keep us, you know, keep us on our on our tippy toes and shit like that. So we appreciate y'all. And looking for a great 2024. So pass it on over to Mike to end us off.
Hey man, y'all already know me. Excuse me. Some Do Pod. Make sure you rate, make sure you like, make sure you subscribe. We are available everywhere where podcasts are available. If you search Barbara's Chair Network, Some Do Pod is there. The What Digital on YouTube. Excuse me. Yeah, still check us out on YouTube. The What Digital. Hey man, we on IG at Some Dude Pod. We on Twitter at Some Dude Pod, at JR Bang, at Mike B underscore CHR. Shout out to everybody in the Facebook community, the hashtag Some Dude Pod Facebook group. Continue to share y'all content, thoughts, and everything in there, and invite people in. You know. and everything like that. Facebook at Some Dude, and I'm Mike B. That's JR Bang. Happy New Year, happy holidays. We're gonna see y'all on the other side, man. 2024, and that's it, man.
Happy New Year, nigga.
Happy New Year, Bang. You know.
Yo, yo, yo! It's your girl Nate Kale, and this is Some Dude Podcast. We out. Peace.